Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, August 25th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Stanbic Bank workers in Harare down tools in protest over salaries and working conditions.
We think the workers in Stanbic are justified to demand at least something. They are not even giving the 10% as 10% of the 18 million, but just 10% of their gross salaries.
President Robert Mugabe is in China on a five-day state visit, but is being criticized for leaving the country's business leaders behind as he seeks investment to help save the country's ailing economy.
It has always been our weakness as Zimbabwe. We don't work together as a team. We talk of Team Zimbabwe, but on the ground there is no Team Zimbabwe.
And the Labour Ministry orders the Gwanda Municipality to come up with an effective plan to settle outstanding salaries for its workers who went on strike last week.
Stanbic workers today staged a demonstration at the financial institution's headquarters in Harare, complaining of poor working conditions and salaries. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
More than 100 placard-carrying Stanbic employees thronged their employer's headquarters along Samora Machel Avenue, singing revolutionary songs, demanding salary increases and improved working conditions. One of the demonstrators and the General Secretary of the Zimbabwe Bankers and Allied Workers Union, or ZIBAU, Gift Peter Mutasa, said the bank's treatment of its workers post-independence was tantamount to slavery. Mutasa said negotiations with the bank's management have yielded nothing.
The brutal and oppressive Smith regime declared its unilateral declaration of independence, ended and entrenching its colonial system of inhuman oppression of Zimbabwe. One must obviously be forgiven, comrades, linking Stanbic Bank to UTI. Apana mutauko yesikuyunyeni kana tichitarisa banking, tichitarisa Smith, tichitarisa UTI, same banana. Tibengi ichi.
ZIBAU President Farai Katsande, who addressed the protesters, said Stanbic Bank was paying paltry salaries to its employees, yet some senior bank managers were living large. What angers the workers the most, according to Katsande, is that the bank has reported an $18 million profit at the end of its financial year, but its employees have nothing to show for it.
In fact, the workers are not necessarily demanding a certain percentage of the $18 million. They recognize that the bank has made huge profits, and you agree with me, and any Zimbabwean would agree with me, that 18 million in profit terms is a significant, or in fact a huge amount, considering the current economic climate in the country. We think the workers in Stanbic are justified to demand at least something. They are not even giving the 10% as 10% of the 18 million. But just 10% of their gross salaries, which I described as a minimum of 627. So if you do your sums, the lowest paid is simply saying, can you add $62 more onto my salary? And we think that is modest, that is very understandable, and that is sincere of the employees to ask such a modest figure, a figure that does not break the back of Stanbic Bank. We think also as a trade union, it is very reasonable and fair for them to award employees that 10%.
Meanwhile, Katsande urged the banking public to shun the financial institution until the bank meets the demands of its workers. Some of the placards read, "No to exploitation." Studio 7, failed to get a comment from the bank's management. In other news, a statement released by Delta Beverages and BAT says there has been a 10% and 16% drop in the sales of alcohol and cigarettes respectively in the first half of this year. The two companies attributed this to the liquidity crisis affecting the nation. This comes at a time when former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai told reporters last week that more than 700 companies have closed the shop since last year's disputed elections. Efforts to get a comment from Industry Minister Joy Bima were fruitless. He is reportedly accompanying President Robert Mugabe in China, where the head of state and his delegation are looking for new lines of credit to help revive the country's ailing economy. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
President Robert Mugabe was today welcomed with full military honors by his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping at the Chinese Great Hall as he opened his five-day state visit to Beijing, during which he hopes to secure more investment for Zimbabwe's struggling economy. But back home, Mr. Mugabe is facing criticism from business leaders and economists who are questioning his decision not to include business leaders in his delegation, as other heads of state normally do on such visits. The president is accompanied by First Lady Amai Grace Mugabe, their son Chatunga Bella Mine, Agriculture Minister Joseph Made, Tourism Minister Walter Mzembe, Foreign Affairs Minister Simbarashe Mbengegui, Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, Transport Minister Obet Mpofu, and Mines Minister Walter Chidagwa. Mr. Xi called Mr. Mugabe, quote, a renowned leader of the African National Liberation and an old friend of the Chinese people whom we respect very much. Mr. Mugabe said he felt very much at home in China and thanked President Xi for inviting him, saying it reminded him of the past and, quote, brings out past to the present.
A government insider tells Studio 7 that Mr. Mugabe is trying to secure a $10 billion credit loan facility to help bankroll Harare's five-year economic turnaround program, Zim Asset. Officials have previously quoted Chinese Vice President Li Yongchao and Chinese Ambassador to Harare, Lin Lin, as having said China was willing to fund Zim Asset. At least $27 billion is needed to fund Zim Asset, but Harare has been struggling to secure the funds. But Mr. Mugabe's spokesperson, George Charamba, downplayed the issue of the loan yesterday, saying the visit was, quote, largely looking at investment of an infrastructure nature with emphasis on energy and transport. Efforts to get a comment from Mr. Mugabe's delegation were futile as their mobile phones went unanswered. But former Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce President Lakson Zembe tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the visit by Mr. Mugabe is critical as the economic crisis in the country has taken a turn for the worse.
Significant in the sense that, okay, you know, the country is currently going through a liquidity crunch. One, two, lack of foreign direct investment, or limited, very limited, let me say, very limited foreign direct investment. And three, the economy is currently, you know, in bad shape on the ground. So it is very important, okay, it's a very important visit, and we hope and trust that it's going to be, you know, a worthwhile, fruitful visit.
But there are also concerns that Mr. Mugabe is accompanied by only cabinet officials, minus business people.
It has always been our weakness as Zimbabwe. We don't work together as a team. We talk of Team Zimbabwe, but on the ground, there is no Team Zimbabwe. And we would have really appreciated and, you know, expected, you know, the leadership at the top to walk the talk, and especially when they are going for business visits like that, to go with business people. If the Chinese leaders are coming here, they come with their business people to come and discuss, negotiate, and conclude whatever deals they want to conclude with us. And that's what South Africa does, and that's what a lot of countries do. And I don't know why that strategy continues to elude us. It will only strengthen, you know, our team, strengthen our case, and make sure that at the end of the day, we are all singing from the same hymn sheet, and we are then able to work together as a team.
That was former Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce President Lakson Zembe. The official Chinese news agency Xinhua reports that figures released by China's Minister of Commerce indicate that Chinese investment to Zimbabwe in non-financial sectors topped $602 million in 2013, leading Chinese investments to any other African country in that year. Chinese companies in Zimbabwe have invested in mining, construction, telecommunications, and agriculture.
The gazetting of provisions of the electoral bill, which provide for the filling of National Assembly or senatorial vacancies, has come under attack from legal experts and political parties. President Robert Mugabe assented to the bill that was gazetted yesterday. The bill affects only members of the House and Senate who were chosen through proportional representation. The delay in the gazetting of the bill had held back former Reserve Bank Governor Gideon Gono from becoming a senator. Parties forwarded a list of names of those that they wanted to be senators to the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission. Some legal experts recently argued that the filling of a senatorial vacancy by a person who was not on the party list would defeat the requirement that senators are elected under a party system. A spokesman Nhlanhla Dube of the Welshman Ncube-led MDC told Studio 7 that they object to the amendments because they give the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission the power to mediate disputes, yet the electoral body is known to be on ZANU-PF's side. His sentiments were echoed by law professor Lovemore Maduku, who is also the leader of the opposition National Constitutional Assembly, who says that they will challenge the law, adding that it is unconstitutional.
I think that provision is unconstitutional on two grounds. The first ground is that in terms of the constitution, a senator is elected on the basis of a party list. And a party list is something that is quite clear. When elections were held last year, each political party submitted a list of persons in order of their priority, that if we're going to get two seats, these are the first two who get in and so forth. And then that list is not exhausted. If you only get three or four and you still have two other people that were on the list and were made available at the time of the election, the Constitution implies that list must be exhausted first before you can go to persons outside that list. So I think the proposal that is coming now, what is now the law in terms of the Electoral Amendment Act, that would be contrary to that provision, so it would be invalid. The second basis upon which I believe the new provision is unconstitutional is that it makes ZEC, Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, a judge. ZEC must be an independent board which must not get involved in any disputes of any nature.
Does this new provision also help in the event that maybe a member of parliament passes on?
It only applies to those members who are elected, who were elected on the basis of the proportional representation.
That was Lovemore Maduku, leader of the opposition National Constitutional Assembly. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
The Ministry of Labour today ordered the Gwanda Municipality to come up with an effective plan to settle outstanding salaries for its workers who went on strike last week after failing to reach an agreement with the workers in a meeting held in Gwanda this afternoon. The government last week ordered the workers to suspend the strike and produce a show cause order today explaining why they should continue with the industrial action. Sipho Ndlovu, the Gwanda branch chairman of the Urban Council Union, tells reporters that Thandekile Mhlanga, the workers will meet their employer again on Wednesday to resolve the issue.
Today we're at the labor offices where we're meeting with the labor officer for a conciliation stage. The municipality of Gwanda was supposed to come up with a payment plan that if the strike has to be stopped, what are they going to do? How are they going to pay us our salaries? So what they brought to us was really shocking. What they were proposing was that they will pay our salaries, outstanding salaries, by October 2014. It means they won't pay our current salaries. By March, they will be paying our monthly salaries on January 2015. And then they pay the May salaries on January again, 2015. They are not talking about June, July, August. They are silent about that. So which means that we will be having our salaries of June, July, maybe on June next year.
How did the workers react to this development? And what is the next course of action now?
The workers are not happy and they did not agree to that. The labor officer must refer our case to the arbitrator now for a final decision. But if the parties are not satisfied, it means we are going to the labor court.
What happened to the show cause order?
Yeah, that's what we are surprised, because now we've gone to conciliation stage, and because we're still waiting for the letter itself from the Minister of Labor. We haven't received anything. It was just verbal, but we haven't received anything. So we're pressuring the labor officer to give us the letter from the Minister of Labor.
And that was Sipho Ndlovu, Gwanda branch chairman of the Urban Council Union, on the line from Gwanda.
The late Nobel Prize winner Doris Lessing donated her entire personal collection of over 3,000 books to the Harare City Library in Zimbabwe. Harare City Library has been in existence for well over 100 years, though under different names and in different places. The library is governed by the Harare City Library Act, and the property and assets are vested in a board of trustees in trust for the people of Zimbabwe. The board of trustees comprises the mayor of the city of Harare and the master of the High Court or their successors in office, permanent or acting. She lived in Rhodesia from 1924 to 1949. Lessing was to be declared a prohibited immigrant after denouncing the excesses of the Rhodesian regime. She was allowed back into the country after independence in 1982. Her novels include The Grasses Singing in 1950, the sequence of five novels collectively called Children of Violence that were between 1952 and 1969, The Golden Notebook, 1962, The Good Terrorist, 1985, and five novels collectively known as Canopus in Argos Archives from 1979 to 1983. Harare City Assistant Library Tariro Dube tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the donation is welcome for the struggling library.
This donation will go a long way in sprucing up the library collection and enhancing literacy and artistic needs of our community, in this case, the Harare community. It also adds to the value of our history, given that Doris Lessing was born and bred, though at one time she went out for further education, came back, experienced all the things that happened in Zimbabwe before she migrated to Australia at one point. But basically, she has got what she has in the literature that she left behind is a rich account of the Zimbabwean heritage.
Have you taken delivery of the books yet?
We are yet to receive them. It's a process which is based on the Doris Lessing Trust, or is it a foundation? And as soon as they sort out the logistical issues, then we'll get the books.
Just tell us briefly about the state of the Harare City Library in terms of funding.
Well, the Harare City Library in terms of funding is on ground zero. We are entirely dependent on well-wishers, goodwill, and any other kind of donations from all angles for our survival. Basically, it's a public subscription library, but it is a cruel mode of sustenance to get money from people who are already burdened with economic and social difficulties. Therefore, we are appealing to donors to help towards the sustenance of Harare City Library.
How many people do you accommodate per day?
An average of 350 people uses the Harare City Library.
That was Harare City Assistant Library Tariro Dube speaking to Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. Lessing was awarded the 2007 Nobel Prize in Literature. In awarding the prize, the Swedish Academy described her as that epicist of the female experience who, with skepticism, fire, and visionary power, has subjected a divided civilization to scrutiny. Lessing was the 11th woman and the oldest person ever to receive the Nobel Prize in Literature. In 2001, Lessing was awarded the David Cohen Prize for a lifetime's achievement in British literature. In 2008, The Times ranked her fifth on a list of the 50 greatest British writers since 1945.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. Did you know you can listen to web audio replays of our programs on our website and sign up for newsletters in English, Shona and Ndebele?
Visit our site at www.studio7news.com. You can also give us feedback by text message. Our number is 1-202-465-0318.
Mozambique's government and the former rebel Renamo movement have signed an accord to end 2 years of low-level fighting. The unrest had raised fears that the southern African country would slip back into civil war 2 decades after Renamo and the ruling Frelimo party ended hostilities. The signing follows passage of a law granting amnesty to Renamo fighters, including the group's leader Afonso Tlakama, who returned to the bush in 2012 after accusing Frelimo of monopolizing political and economic power in the country. Tlakama was not present for the signing ceremony late yesterday in the capital Maputo. Renamo's negotiator Simon Makuyen signed the accord along with government representative Jose Pacheco.
Coming up,
mobile banking on the rise in Zimbabwe. But first, a look at regional and international news.
A Liberian doctor who was one of the 3 Africans to be treated with an unproven Ebola drug has died.
Nigeria's Boko Haram militants say they have taken control of a northern town and annexed it into what they call their Islamic State.
Mobile money accounts held by users of Zimbabwe's mobile network operators Econet and Telcel have surpassed expectations, nearing almost 5 million users remitting cash through the brand's mobile cash accounts. In a press release from World Remit, an online service that allows Econet users to send money, the mobile company's EcoCash service has more than 4 million subscribers, a figure just shy of its active mobile users in the country. Competitor Telcel, which provides its service Telecash, has 600,000 users. Global Remit says since its partnership with Econet, more than 60% of all money transfers sent to Zimbabwe through the company are received on EcoCash. Zimbabwe is now one of the countries where people use mobile money more than traditional bank accounts. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with economist Prosper Chitambara, who says the impact of the mobile bank to the economic sector is evident with the number of users accessing the banking platforms.
Because, as you know, there is a, what we call financial exclusion, whereby about 80% of the Zimbabweans are not banked or don't have access to formal financial system institutions like banking institutions. So what EcoCash and Telecash and the other guys have done is to improve financial inclusion. What they've also done is to improve the payment system in the country. As you know, many retailers are now using this mobile banking platform to make payments and to receive payments. So I think the impact has been twofold. Number one, in terms of financial extending financial inclusion to the either to marginalized and unbanked and number two, also improving the payment, national payment system.
Looking at the difference between a mobile banking platform and then, let's say, a traditional banking platform, what does that mean exactly, and how does it impact the economy itself?
I think when you look at traditional banking, I think the major challenge here in Zimbabwe is that the issue of financial confidence, rather, within the banking system. When you look at, say, the deposit rates, the rates that deposits are attracting in the formal or in the traditional banking systems, and also even the cost of banking or the bank charges, and even the cost of credit itself, it's very, very prohibitive. And so there are very, very little incentives for people to continue to use, rather, the traditional banking model. And that's why there's been that migration from the traditional banking model to this mobile banking platform. It's also to do with the confidence level in the traditional and also the cost of transacting in the traditional banking model, which is a bit exorbitant.
That was economist Prosper Chitambara in Harare. Adjudications is in progress in the hat painting competition run by Amagugu International Heritage Center, aimed at the preservation of a diminishing hamlet decoration tradition still practiced in Zimbabwe. Center Director Patisa Nyati says the painting tradition is almost disappearing, a situation which prompted the center to engage various companies, the Art Gallery in Bulawayo and the National University of Science and Technology, to revive it. Nyati tells our Studio 7's Gibbs Dube, winners of the competition dubbed Tomba Indlu Ngobuciko, or Paint Your Heart Beautifully, will get prizes like blouse.
That tradition seems to be dying down, and yet it is an important aesthetic function which we want to revive. And as Amagugu International Heritage Center, centered within the Matobo Hills, which is a cultural landscape and one that is inscribed on the UNESCO Heritage List, we came up with this idea, or this center, which seeks, among other things, to revive our lost cultural practices, research on them, and with the idea of documenting, preserving, and promoting. And so this competition comes in that context. Here is a dying cultural practice, and we want to revive it, we want to resuscitate it, and bring in the competition side, which is perhaps meant to encourage the villagers that they begin to see value in this one, because they are going to get nice prizes, some ox drawn plows, they are going to get a lot of pots from Kango, from Ikrisat, from Halstead, Wilbaro, and the Bowser. So it's nice, beautiful prizes.
Is this a local competition or you're going nationwide?
No, this is an initial process. This is why we've taken only two wards in Matobo District where the center is located. But next year, hopefully, we are going to embrace more wards within Matobo District with the aim that we are going to expand.
That was Patisa Nyati of Amagugu International Heritage Center speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
And briefly in sports news, Australia today beat Zimbabwe by 198 runs in the first day of the Zimbabwe Triangular Series held at the Harare Sports Club. And in sports news, rather soccer, Premier Soccer League news, we have results from the weekend. Chicken Inn on Saturday beat Shabani Mine 2-0, Harare City 3, Haumine 0, ZPC Kariba 2, Bantu Rovers 0. And on Sunday, Highlanders beat FC Platinum 1-0, Triangle was beaten by Dynamos 2-1. Capes United 1, Chapungu 0, Wange 1, Chiredzi 0, Buffaloes 2, Black Rhinos 2. So Highlanders is just behind Dynamos, which is on top of the Premier League at the moment. And in the English Premier League, Everton 2, Arsenal 2, Chelsea 2, Leicester 0, Crystal Palace 1, West Ham 3. That was on Saturday. And West Ham 0, West Brom 0, Swansea 1, Burnley 0, Aston Villa 0, Newcastle 0, Sunderland drew 1-1 with Man United, and Hull and Stoke also drew 1-1. And Spurs, that's Tottenham 4, Queen's Park Rangers 0. And Chris, we recap today's top stories.
Stanbic Bank workers in Harare down tools in protest over poor salaries and working conditions.
And President Mugabe is criticized for going to China, leaving the business delegation behind. That's all we have for you tonight. Signing off is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.